Welcome back to another edition of GKW, Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel. He's Brian Rowitz, along with Jonathan Hood. And we are very excited to talk to our next guest. She was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame back in 2015. Please welcome in. Also, by the way, two-time Monster Truck champion. We definitely need to get into that at some point in time. Please welcome Medusa to GKW. Book coming out end of March. You can pre-order it now at Amazon. The Woman Who Would Be King, the Medusa story. Let's just go ahead and start there. Why did you decide that you wanted to write a book and share all the great stories you've got?
Oh my gosh. Why would it? I mean, that title could have been so many different titles. Chronicles of the Title in the Trash. Chronicles of the Road Story. Da 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 da. I mean, my goodness. However, I got a new, for your acronym, GKW, is that right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Girls Kick Wide World. It just came to my mind there. But anyway, yes. So how did this book come about? I mean, I have like 40 years of life and 20 years of Monster Trucks, 20 years of pro wrestling and so on. And I'm still active in it. So why wouldn't I write a book? One, because of the circus of it all, let's say. No pun intended, but yes. There's just valuable things that I learned. And there's a valuable things that I've taken away and definitely still having fun. So I never dreamed about being a pro wrestler. I mean, I was just doing my thing and I was putting myself through nursing school, and instead of mending bones, I found I was breaking them. So hey, I took a it was a huge transition.
Medusa, how's life for you right now? You know, you pop up everywhere, a lot of autograph shows. All of a sudden you're on Monday Night Raw. How's life for you right now in 2023?
Freaking awesome. Like ecstatic. Like when I just came on here and saw you guys, like I'm a real happy person anyway. Now, don't get me wrong. There's things that kind of just, you know, irk me, but you deal with it. You just kind of sit, you take it in, and I think about it and I make my move. So I'm life is good. I mean, you have your everyday situations or adversities in life and things that you're dealt and you deal with them. But I think being in this business has really taught me how to do that in life very well. Now, I'm not going to say it's always been 100% great, because pro wrestling, more so than anything, has really, I mean, it really made me a jaded person for a while. So in the past, of course, but I've overcome that. And yeah, I love life right now. I really do.
For you, you mentioned that belt and appearing on Nitro, throwing that belt away, one of the iconic moments in pro wrestling. If someone told you that night that you would be back on a WWE stage, you would be in the Hall of Fame, you'd be part of Raw celebrations, What would your reaction have been back then?
So if they would have said, look, just go ahead and throw the title in the trash, you're going to be back on anyway, I probably still would have done it, you know, either way. But I knew that throwing the title in the trash, I didn't think it was going to end my relationship with WWE for all those years. I can promise you, I promise you that. I didn't even think anything of that. Actually, I just thought, well, you know, I have to give the title back to them and they haven't asked for it yet, which was kind of weird. And I mean, before they even let me go, they sent me a letter in the FedEx. And I mean, I was like, what are you doing? I'm getting ready to catch a plane to come work for you. And I get a FedEx in the mail. Right. But yeah, I just I don't know. It was just one of those things that started the Monday Night War, and those guys made money and I didn't. So they can thank me.
So one of the reasons that, you know, you mentioned, you know, women's wrestling, and you were very outspoken in the early 2000s about how you didn't like how things were becoming more or less just bra and panties matches, and they were going away from women's wrestling. How do you think women are represented in the professional wrestling world today?
Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, it's 10 times better, thank God. Now, there was a transition in women's wrestling that I didn't like, because I like to wrestle. I didn't go into pro wrestling to wrestle in my bra and panties. There was other things you could do if you wanted to do that. But so I had to either either agree or go with it and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Have a few come to Jesus talks with myself and say, either you're going to do it or you're not, or change what you don't like. You know, why be miserable? And so I did. And the women that chose to do what they did during that era, I mean, that was their choice. And it's not against the women per se. It's not against the individuals. It's unfortunate that a lot of them were forced into situations that were demeaning. It really was. And a lot of them will tell you that. At that time, if you were to ask them that, I don't think they would say it because it was their paycheck. Damn straight. None of them had legs to stand on. You know, none of the women were getting paid $1 million contracts like they are today. A few women are getting paid and they do have a great life. Some of them do have $1 million contracts, and it's endless, the opportunities for women. And it's about damn time. It's about damn time in a minute. Okay, never mind. So it just, and that's a good feeling. And I'm telling you, it's the world is, I mean, it's endless what the women and not just women, men don't have equal opportunity either. You know, it's just not about the women. No, they've come a long way and they're at a path, you know, they're at a point where it does need to get better still. What doesn't, right? Everything needs improvement, you know? Could Monday Night Raw have been different? More women, longer this, longer that? Oh, yeah, okay. But I'll tell you what, that was one of their highest rated shows, and it was a damn good show, Raw 30.
Yeah, no question about it. Yes. So I watched you in the AWA, and I saw you recently on Vice talk about your matchups against Sherry. But I want to talk about the word trust, because you're a young wrestler at the time and you and Sherry were a major attraction for Vern in AWA. What was that trust factor like between you and Sherry, knowing that Sherry tried to beat you up? What was that like?
There was no trust. She hated me. That bitch hated me. Are you kidding me? I was coming in on her territory and I was like, oh, who's this girl with the slinky this and showing nylons and legs and wasn't wearing granny stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, it was so green. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't even know psychology. I didn't even know what a work was yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And boy, she was fit to be tied. I mean, we had some confrontations, but at the end, not at the end, but and later on, her and I became best friends all the way to the end, to her funeral, man. Oh, yeah. She was a brawler. She wasn't a great wrestler, but she was a damn brawler. And the best thing about Sherry, her psychology and timing was bar none the best. Like, she knew where to go, her spots and some of her promos. Lord have mercy. And Luna was good, too, when it came to timing and her psychology. Luna was good at that, too. Very much so.
When you do look at the current state of women's wrestling in both companies, and obviously, you know, there's two major companies now, who are some of the women you wish you could step in the ring with? And, you know, one last match, say, all right, this is who I want to square off with.
Well, I mean, that's an often asked question. And when you think about it, and I would say the only, you know, thing I say is I haven't had a retirement match yet. You know, they could have done something with me in 2015. They almost had me and Paige wrestle. We were going to start to do something, which no one really knows. But that never came to fruition. And that would have been great. Like, oh, my God, that would have been great. But, I mean, we always see women from the Attitude Era forward. And I use that loudly and pronunciate it and make it known. But it's not towards anybody. It's not directed towards any individual. Let's get that straight there, clickbait people. And it just, you know, it's from the Attitude Era. Y'all can say what you want, but you don't see any of the women from myself back ever. I'm the only one, really, that they do anything with. And it's crazy. You have Wendi Richter, that was one of the biggest things ever for WrestleMania 1 and Cyndi Lauper, right? Yeah. What the hell? I mean, it's in the Jumping Bomb Angels and the Golden. I mean, good Lord. I mean, there's some amazing talent back there, but maybe it doesn't fit the narrative, you know, and what they want. Do you have a question there, sir?
Yes, Stussy, I do. Do you have any plans on Saturday, like in around the Texas area? Do you have any plans?
this Saturday? If yeah. I did, I sure in the hell wouldn't tell you.
I like it. I like it.
You know, I will tell you, no, I wasn't asked to go to Rumble this year. So, no, I'm not in Rumble. Unless I get a call. So, when I did the NXT stint there with, it was me and Nora and Sean, you know, for the table there. And I got asked back then to go to Monday Night Raw, right? Raw 30. And then like 3 weeks before Raw, they said, oh, change of plans. I'm like, okay, no big deal. And then 2 days before Raw, hey, yep, you're back in. I'm like, what? I missed shit. I mean, shoot. I'm not busy.
You can curse.
Oh, okay.
Whatever
I'm
you love
busy.
To say.
I'm busy. And I'm like, I'm going to have to move. Oh, okay. And I didn't even ask. You know, I'm just like, you know, I'll probably go out there and wave. You know, okay, whatever. So, and I know my role. I'm a legend, and I'm, it's not about me. It's about the kids today, right? So I wasn't expecting much, but the thing is that it was interesting. It was. There was a lot of scuttle, and a lot of people were upset. I should say a few people were. I mean, I was there. Why is anyone upset about that? That I didn't get any TV time? Maybe they should start bitching about that. Be concerned about the one legend that was there that didn't get any TV time, but all the other male legends did. Hello? Let's talk about that. Uh-huh. Why is it all about the other crap? If they weren't there and that didn't happen, but at least one woman was there to represent and didn't get TV time, shouldn't that be a concern if we're pushing women's narrative, right?
Absolutely. Wait, is there something you would have liked to do other than, you know, sit there and play poker?
Yeah, I don't even know how to play poker. I don't even know what the hell I was doing. Thank God it was scripted. I'm like, DDP, what kind of hand is this? What are you going to do? Shush, here comes the camera. I'm like, I don't know. Full house. Just so good. And then we had Bradshaw coming up on the side. He goes, oh my God, Deuce, you got the belt. I go, yeah. He goes, oh, is it good? I said, yeah. They said, go ahead. And I'm like, okay. So I threw the belt down the table. I'm like, I am going to use this everywhere because I am still the champ.
I love that.
Just having fun, guys. What else do you do but have fun?
Oh, exactly. Pro wrestling's supposed to be fun. You know, that's
memories,
what it's supposed to be.
Yes. Memories, having fun and camaraderie and just building. I had such a good time. And everyone is just running around with their butthole tight. And I'm like, my goodness. Why is everyone so uptight? Have a good time. It is what it is. You ain't going to change it.
So you mentioned earlier about how, you didn't grow up loving pro wrestling. You're not even sure. But how did you get into pro wrestling then? Like how, because so many of these people that go on, they're like, oh, we grew up, we love watching this, this, and this. And they always knew they wanted to do it. So how did you get into it? And how did you learn it so quickly?
Well, I was from the best state ever. I think it's in the water. You know how many great people came from Minnesota, AWA. I mean, we had the Nick Bockwinkles, the Wahoo McDaniels, the Road Warriors, the Ric Flairs. It goes on and on and on. It was something in the water, guys. Or since it was Minnesota, we were frozen half the year. So, I mean, heck, we lived a good life.
I'm in Wisconsin. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Cheesehead. Go Vikings. Skull. Oh, we suck this year. Damn it.
Wow.
Let me tell you, it's so hard being a Vikings fan. Oh my God. We'll get into that. Hold on. So let me tell you. Oh, this house during Vikings time. Oh my God. Okay. So, why did I become a wrestler? I mean, I don't know, because this friend of mine was dating a Hollywood stunt coordinator, and he did all the stunt coordination for Burt Reynolds, and Dar Robinson was the one doing the stunts for Dar, or Dar was doing for Burt Reynolds, and Kai Michelson coordinated all of those. So my girlfriend was dating him, and this from Minnesota, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then this guy just started staring at me, and I'm like, ew, what a freak. My girlfriend's right here. This dude's probably trying to hit on me. What the hell? And finally, he just came up to me and said, oh, you should be in the entertainment business. I'm like, oh, my God. Now I've heard everything. You're a creep. This is what I'm saying in my head. And I'm like, you know what? I could be a stunt woman. I'm the biggest jock there is. I'm a gymnast, track and field star, blah, blah, blah. I'm a gearhead. I ride Harleys. And he's like, no, I was thinking pro wrestler. And I was like, oh my, are you kidding me? Ew. No. And so, and then one thing led to another, introduced me to Ed Shark, and then you're just going to have to read my book.
Oh,
yes. Oh, that's a great tease.
Yeah. No, it gets good. Let me tell you, it's over 300 pages in that damn book. And how do you put 20 years of wrestling, 20 years of monster trucks in one book? You don't. So there's going to be others. Yeah.
Okay. The Woman Who Would Be King, available yes. now on Amazon. Medusa is our guest here on Good Karma Wrestling. I want to circle back to something you were talking about. And it's funny that you say it, because it was part of a promo with The Undertaker and LA Knight on that same show, Raw 30, where LA Knight said, hey, Undertaker, I heard you on the Joe Rogan podcast. You were talking about how the current locker room is, I don't know, tight or whatever. Did you notice the same when you were there as well? Like, there was where it didn't seem like it was fun. It was very much business.
What do you mean? It was a little more laid back and having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, us legends had a room by ourselves. And when you put Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Hart, Ted DiBiase, the IRS, Papa, and Taker, and myself and Ric Flair in one room, oh, jeez, the lookout. It was good. We were just kicking back watching the show and, you know, doing our part, of course. And, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. You know, it definitely is a different era. You know, it has become more corporate. It is business compared to free falling when I was there. And but it was like a small little version. And now it's like a football field version. So it has expanded. Just think of a tree and the roots. And that's how it is. It's just so many avenues, so many opportunities. And I can see and feel that the kids feel the same way I did. You know, you're scared, you're nervous, you're worried about your spot. You know, you got to do good. And you're always, oh, yeah, God, I don't miss that tension at all. Let me tell you, those ulcers, oh, crying myself at sleep at night. Forget it.
You mentioned the book, including pro wrestling, including being, you know, a pro monster truck driver. You look at your Wikipedia page, pro monster truck drivers listed as number one, and you're also a professional wrestler. Which one do you identify as first?
Well, I'm a crazy bitch anyway, so, okay. And I'm a gearhead. I mean, my grandmother, she's 100, and she just retired her Harley at 88, which I have out my garage because I'm restoring it. Guys, she's a blessing. She's amazing. She runs up and down the stairs. She reupholsters furniture still. She drives her truck. You know, like I said, she's from Minnesota, so she's half frozen, you know, half the year, dead half the year, comes alive. So, I mean, she's probably only 50. And I have her jeans. So hopefully that is it. So I've got my Harleys out there. My husband has his. Yeah, I don't know. I'm crazy. I get not crazy, crazy fun.
Well, how do you get into monster trucks? Like, I guess I got to follow up there.
I am. Okay. All right. I will. Okay. Never... Monster trucks. So I told you the scenario. This is all in my book. I told you the scenario where I just fed up with wrestling and I got a little win from some friends and the intel that, you know, Vince may be buying WCW before anyone knew. And I'm like, that's it. I gave him my notice that I didn't want to. I'm out of here. Because if you were to take over, the name Medusa and everything could have rolled over. And I sure the hell, you know, oh, you ain't taking that. Nope. Been there, done that, not going to do it. So around 99 in the late fall, I got a call from a guy named Mike Weber. He is the COO of Fight TV. Amazing guy. He's like, Deuce, what are you doing? I'm like, Mike? Yeah. I go, where the hell are you? What have you been doing? He goes, I work for this company called Monster Jam. I said, what's a monster? What's a jam? What are you doing? He goes, it's these trucks and they're big tires. And he goes, Deuce, do you have a minute? I'm like, yeah. So he explained it to me. He goes, we need women. We don't have one woman driver. We don't have any women hardly in the audience. And I can't think of a better person to get in a monster truck and build this, you know, the whole. And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, I've never even seen one. I've never been in a monster, never been to a show. He goes, Deuce, let us fly you out and just test drive one with Dennis Anderson at Kill Devil Hills out there in Carolina. I'm like, okay. I'm just always, okay, I'll try that too. So they flew me out and I met Dennis. What a, you know, country boy, Southern boy, let me tell you. Oh my God. And so they threw me out. Oh my God. They flew me out there and I get out there and I didn't know what to expect. I had these jacked up tennis shoe thingies and tight freaking jeans and looking like, you know, good, like a wrestler, like I'm going on an interview. I wasn't planning on driving a damn truck. I didn't know what to bring. They didn't say anything. So here I am. They're like, try to suit her up. And I get in this truck and hey, what a perfect marriage. One of my better marriages, except for now is my best. But yeah, me and monster trucks. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh. And let me tell you, when you got 1800 horsepower underneath your butt, dude, it's insane, insane. And it's loud and it's just, oh, powerful. Yes. And so I never trained. I never trained. I just test drove out there and I was a natural. Guys, there's a big story in my book about me first test driving and what happened. You're going to just, oh my God, you're going to die. And so, yeah. So, and I got hired on the spot. They're like, you're hired. I'm like, what? Oh God, I didn't come out here to get, I didn't know. So I got hired. And then a week or 2 weeks later, I was entertaining fans, 60,000 fans every weekend for the rest of my 20-year career. I never like trained. My training was in front of the people.
But yeah. I guess that's so much adrenaline. I was just wondering, from wrestling to monster trucks, what was the adrenaline rush for you? Is it better for wrestling or for monster trucks?
Well, both have their own. And, to, you know, they're ran the same, kind of like a circus, but it was real and competitive, monster trucks was. Wrestling was entertainment. Monster trucks were real. So when I'm a very competitive person. I mean, at everything I do, and I'm not, I mean, this is very hard to say. It's like, whatever I try or do, I was good at. Like if it was air hockey with my husband, I beat his ass all the time. He hates it. I'm an air hockey queen. I love air hockey. And it's just on right away. I'm in like competition mode. So knowing that, I mean, I was in, it was just natural. A woman is really quick off the light. It's her mechanism with that, her reflex is stuff is just really good when it comes to the green light and her foot stuff. And I don't know what that is, but it has shown that it is. And I was really just quick off the light and good. And I wasn't scared. I had a little bit of fear, but not something that would ever hold me back. I didn't care.
The forward to the book written by Paul Heyman. What did that Paul mean to your career?
Oh, everything. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for Paul believing me and giving me that opportunity. And the DA, the Dangerous Alliance, the most underrated faction ever.
Agreed.
I mean, guys, I love it when he said on Raw 30, I was in the room popping when he mentioned DA. And I'm like, yeah, Dangerous Alliance. Way to go, Paul. Oh, wait a minute. That's the third time he's mentioned something. Wait, what's up? What's coming up? Wait a minute, I got to pay attention. What?
Yeah, that did surprise me because you don't hear about that faction enough.
No.
So Larry Zbyszko, Rick Rude, Bobby Eaton, Paul Heyman, you.
Austin.
And Austin. Everyone spins out as a star. Everyone in that group was a star. Was already a star, became a bigger star in WCW.
Oh, everyone. My gosh. They were a very talented group. I mean, it's kind of like the Four Horsemen. You know what I mean? It's just they were all great. Factions are good. You know, you have, you know, every single one had a great meaning and they had their and what they did and carried on. And what I mean, everyone was different, actually. I mean, we were like espionage.
This was
espionage. Is that what you said?
Like we were like 007 and like, you know, yeah. And then you had the Four Horsemen and then you had DX was just a sloppy mess. You know, I mean, on purpose. And then, you know, every faction had their own little thing. Yes. James Bond.
If espionage was in Atlanta, Georgia, I guess so. I guess Southern espionage.
Yes.
Yeah. This was absolutely fantastic.
It really was to be able to talk to you, Medusa.
Thank you.
As someone to watch you in the AWA and to be able to talk to you, bucket list for me. And we're happy to be able to promote your book. We want everybody from GKW that watches our show from coast to coast to check out your book. Again, what was it, Browitz, that's coming
the
up in
The Woman
March.
Who Would Be King. Go to Amazon right now. Get that order in. Like there, Paul Heyman right in the foreword. Awesome stuff from Medusa.
Yeah, and thank you guys for having me. And I love my whole pool area here, which isn't real. I think I might dive into it when I'm done.
It's not real.
Wait a minute. It's not real. My pool's not real? What?
Real? I don't understand.
I thought I would try this green screen thing, guys, but I don't know why it's not working. Why does it look horrible?
No, it's great. We bought it. We thought it was a real pool.
You bought it. Yeah, right. Okay.
The entire time, yeah.
Deucey, kayfabe, even in interviews, kayfabe, please.
Oh my God, I just broke kayfabe. So let me ask you guys something real quick before we go. So the current product overall, are you enjoying it of WWE?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the most part,
The bloodline situation was the best ever. Like that thing is amazing, right?
That is the best storyline going. There's some other things they could work on a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's the best going right now. Me being from Chicago, growing up watching the AWA, where you had, 5,000 squash matches, 1,000 great interviews, and one angle a year from Vern. I'm totally cool with 2023 in wrestling because TV matches are so much better than it was in 89, 90. That is for sure.
One angle a year. That's funny.
It's true.
God. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for having me. I don't know where the guy's like an apparition. Is like a ghost.
Yeah, Gabe does his own thing.
Gabe, come on, Gabe. He pops in and out when he wants to. Come on, Gabers. What's going on?
Because he knew you were talking Vikings. He had enough at that point.
Wait, Vikings. Back to the Vikings.
Oh, no. Oh,
hey,
please
Kirk
don't.
Kirk Cousins. He's good, but there was something missing. But let me tell you about JJ. JJ's the man.
Yeah, until he goes up against Jair Alexander.
I'm done. I'm done. Bye. I'm out. Just listen, I'm gonna throw cheese curds at you or whatever the hell.